admitted, I'm ashamed of my ways. Took way more than a song for me to change all my ways. For real, way I maneuver through the snaking and the faking. Like I did this shit before, then watched it all fade away. Damn, I'm afraid to eventually see the day that she tell me she never loved me and watch it all fade to gray.
And welcome back to the Between the Lies podcast, where we deep dive into whatever wicked or warped subject we may find our way into in that given week. Typically, I do much darker subjects, murder, mystery, and conspiracy, but today I decided to be a little bit more uplifting and speak about something that gives people hope in a lot of instances. Today we're going to be talking about divine intervention, spiritual awakening, and guardian angels, which truly is the main subject of the podcast. Now, how this came about was last week I was at work and I was speaking to my coworker, and we typically get into some pretty deep conversations. Now, we ended up talking about God, divine intervention, and spiritual awakenings. It was at this point that he shared with me that he has had encounters with what he believes to be his personal guardian angel about 10 to 12 times throughout his lifespan, and he told me specific stories, which we'll get to as well. This kind of jogged my memory because 10 years ago, unfortunately, my mom passed away, and I was very close to my mom, and I was only 16 when it happened, so it definitely shook the core of our family. It made you question God. It made me question God for years even. But I have also had some supernatural experiences that I can only attribute to some type of guardian angel or somebody watching over me. Now, I also attribute it to my mom in a lot of ways, and my uncle, who had passed away just 2 years ago. I've also seen some signs from him, and we'll get into that. There's certain signs that people say are definitely guardian angels, or just someone watching over you, or it could be your spirit guide. That's another thing I've heard along the way. But I do believe at the end of the day, in this world, there is a mix of good and evil. There's always yin and yang. Everything always balances itself out. I believe that I am divinely protected, and I have been through certain things in my life that point me in that direction and make me realize that I am truly here for a reason, as I believe that everybody is, and I believe in God. I don't ever try to force that belief on anybody. And even to the person listening today who doesn't believe in guardian angels or God at all, just listen to these stories and listen to the stories that I've personally witnessed and then make your decision, because I think there always reaches a point where we want to know where we came from, why were we created, and some of these stories kind of give you that feel-good feeling and kind of let you know that we all have a purpose in the long run. Of course, all this is opinion, but this is what I believe. And I believe personally in my life that the Between the Lies podcast has been a godsend for me. It has allowed me to redirect my energy creatively and pour it into a vessel in which I can connect with people on a deeper level. Some of the episodes I've done, like last week when I talked about Epstein Island, North Fox Island, as well as the 85,000, probably more now, missing children on the border, it gives me this higher purpose in which I feel like I'm able to spread information to people and use this platform for good rather than bad. So let's get to it. So the first story that I wanted to present to you guys today is my own personal story, and it took place when I was 14. Now, me and my friends weren't the smartest kids at that time, or we thought we were, but we were not. We, every single day, would get together after school and watch Jackass. It didn't matter if it was the movies or the MTV version of the show, we would sit there and watch Jackass. And somewhere along the line of us being super fans of Jackass, we decided to buy a camera from Target and start filming our own stunts. Now, it seemed like a great idea at the time, and we got a lot of attention from girls, and we were becoming more popular because of it, at least in our own minds. So it seemed like a good idea, but it truly wasn't. Now, a few weeks went by of us trying to make this crazy, call it a mixtape on this camera, and we were going to put it on YouTube, upload it to YouTube, and tell all our friends about it, and we thought we would be the hottest thing since sliced bread. Now, it had been snowing in the days before, and there was this ledge by my house right by the CVS. So there was a bank next to the CVS, and the bank actually sat about 10 feet, 7 to 10 feet higher than the land that CVS was on. So there was this ledge, in case you were parking there, you had no fear of your car rolling off. It would just hit a wall rather than roll off. Underneath it was this gigantic snowbank that had been collecting over the past few days because there had been heavy snowfall the week before, and it was still so cold that most of the snow was not melting. So me and my friends, I guess a light bulb went off in our heads, and we decided, what better way to end our movie than by doing a shopping cart stunt where I hit off the top ledge, fly over, and land in the snow pile. To a 14-year-old or 13-year-old kid, it sounds like a great idea. You'll fly 10 feet in the air, but you'll land in snow. There's no way this can go wrong. Well, we were wrong. So lo and behold, the day finally comes. We wake up that morning and it's snowing again. It is wet. It is icy outside. And we decide, for whatever stupid reason, that we're still going to go on with the cart stunt because, again, I'm landing in snow. It'll be no problem. What could go wrong? So my friend goes to push me in the shopping cart. I smack the ledge with the front of the shopping cart. Therefore, I am flung out of the shopping cart and headed for this bank of snow. I flip over, and as I'm watching the bank of snow, hoping to hit it shortly, I see it getting further and further away. I had overshot the bank of snow by about 5 to 10 feet, and I had landed directly on my femur, which is actually the hardest bone to break in your body, and I completely shattered it. So I was rushed to the hospital and later taken to Cooper Hospital, who specializes in trauma and these type of surgeries. And long story short, I went through 2+ years of surgery, plus rehab, plus everything in between that comes with that. So I was rushed to Cooper Trauma Center because the extent of my injury really wasn't something a normal hospital could handle. The only thing I remember from arriving at the hospital before they put me on whatever medication they put me on, good stuff, I'm sure, but nonetheless, the only thing I remember is the doctor looking me in the eyes and saying, "You're lucky to be alive. If you hit your head, neck, or back, you are dead on impact." And this will later become very important in the story, so everybody remember that key detail. He looked me in my eyes and said, "You should have been dead. If you hit your head, neck, or back, you're dead on impact. You're lucky to be alive." So a few months after the initial surgery, I was still having trouble getting around. And of course, you have to visit surgeons and doctors to kind of get them to get a look at your leg and make sure it's healing properly and see what your mobility is so they can plan some type of extensive rehabilitation for you to start walking again. So I was driving with my dad to my next appointment, and I happened to pass this cemetery that is right by my house. It's actually Colestown Cemetery, if anybody cares to look it up, but it's Colestown Cemetery. And when I passed it, when I tell you, the goosebumps on my arm stood up, the back of my neck felt chilly, my entire body, I had the goosebumps, because it was then and there that I remembered the dream I had the night before my cart stunt went horribly wrong. So I guess I had forgotten the dream, not only because typically people forget most of their dreams. If you ask somebody, they'd probably tell you, "I have one or two dreams that I can remember throughout my life, but the other stuff, it's kind of all a blur." So I guess I had forgotten this dream because of that, but not only that, the shock of what happened in terms of breaking my femur the following morning. But when we passed this cemetery, the memory hit me like a ton of bricks, and I actually broke down because it's so powerful. So in the dream, I was paranormally investigating this specific cemetery, again, Colestown Cemetery, if you guys would like to look it up. And there is an inner part of the cemetery that I guess the caretaker stays in when you first enter the cemetery. So the beginning of my dream, I'm kind of in that inner section, not outside in the cemetery yet. And I'm looking at this old style mattress. And that's when a little boy comes out from under the mattress, does not say a word to me, keep in mind, and basically motions, "Follow me." It was then that the boy would take me through the entire cemetery, showing me the ins and outs and the different paths. And at the end of the cemetery, whew, and I still have chills as I'm talking about this right now, it's hitting me right now. At the end of the tour of the cemetery, he showed me an open plot, and that's when I woke up. So it was when I passed the cemetery a few months after my initial surgery that it all came full circle. Whoever this ghost boy was, he was trying to show me, you might not live to see tomorrow. He was trying to warn me not to do the cart stunt. So when the doctor told me, this is life or death, you're lucky to be alive, had you hit your neck, back, or spine, or head, you're dead on impact. It really is all full circle. Whatever was in my dream, maybe even my subconscious, maybe a guardian angel, something was trying to warn me of the dangers ahead.
And for those people who don't know, because as I'm sitting here recording, I'm realizing I just mentioned Jackass, like everybody knows exactly what that is. I'm considering that I might even have some younger listeners, younger than 20, not 100% sure about that. But nonetheless, Jackass was a cultural phenomenon. It started with Johnny Knoxville, who we know from movies. I'm pretty sure most people know him by now. The likes of Bam Margera, Ryan Dunn, etc. This group of 20-plus-year-olds who all they would do was basically get hammered, party, and do crazy stunts. They would do things as in drink out of a fishbowl and swallow a goldfish just to throw it up. Just the most morbid things you could ever imagine. But they also used to do a lot of stunts back in the day. And basically, of course, there's a disclaimer in the beginning of those type of shows that says, don't attempt these stunts or they're being done by professionals. But as you know, most kids, if not all kids, don't listen to stuff like that. The same when they watch WWE. It says, these are professionals, please don't try this at home, but kids do it anyway. So nonetheless, we were being stupid, and I certainly cheated death that day. But I do believe that I was warned from a higher power of the dangers that lay ahead on that fateful morning. 2 years later, I would have another surgery, basically to take a metal plate out of my leg. Keep in mind that I hit my femur when I did this cart stunt, so obviously the femur is the biggest bone in your body and the hardest to break. So I had to go through surgeries, physical rehab, etc., like I mentioned earlier. About 2 years later, I was a different me because my mom had passed away at 16. So at 17, I'm having the surgery, but I'm in an extremely dark place. I won't go too deep into it, but I was having a lot of, we'll say, personal struggles and issues and ways that I was coping with the pain of losing my mother that, you know, I obviously, in hindsight, being 2020, was coping the wrong way and using substances along the way that was putting myself in jeopardy. So nonetheless, I was in the hospital about to get my surgery, or maybe it was after the surgery. And for whatever reason, I was visited by this older woman. And we talked and talked. And for whatever reason, I remember, and this is in the hospital, I remember me feeling so comfortable with her. Now, keep in mind that this may have been because I was doped up from the surgery or whatever, and a lot of it is very hazy, so I don't remember it completely perfect. But nonetheless, I talked and talked to this lady about some of the struggles I was facing. The fact that instead of coping like in a healthy manner, I was resorting to certain substances and staying out all night and partying all the time and women and just basically channeling this pain in the most negative fashion that I could ever do it. Now, I'm better for it now. I'm 28, actually, today. And so I'm much better for it. But at that time, I was immature and could not grasp the concept of my mother's death. I was mad at the world, and I was taking it out on myself by trying to get away from this pain that I was experiencing on a day-to-day basis. Nonetheless, I was talking to the lady for a very long time. And I remember specifically that I never told her my name. We never introduced ourselves because I didn't get a name from her either. She listened and listened for what seemed like forever, but may have been just a short while. Nonetheless, she at a point said, I'm so sorry. You know, I loved listening to you and hearing you out, but I do have to go. She said, before I go, I just want to tell you one thing. Whew. I have chills literally up and down. She said, just remember, Tyler, a lot of people care about you. You're going to be just fine, and walked away. I basically, until this day, believe that that day I was possibly visited by a guardian angel because I was going through mental warfare. I was going through hell at the time with my mom's passing, a surgery, being out of school, trying to balance healthy coping mechanisms, which again, I wasn't using, but coping with my mom's death and friendships and social life and school, etc. I was going through hell. And I just remember pouring my heart out to this lady and feeling so comfortable. And as soon as she left the room, I thought to myself, I never told her my name. To this day, I believe that I was visited that day by a guardian angel, because I look back more than 10 years later and I see that I am blessed beyond belief. I have a beautiful family. I have a beautiful future. I have a great job. I am just surrounded by so many good things, this podcast being one of them. And at that time, at 17, I could not see myself in 10 years. I honestly wasn't sure if I was going to make it that long. So for that lady to come in there and say that, not only know my name when I didn't tell her it, but also to reassure me, everything's going to be just fine. You got a lot of people who care about you. I have chills talking about it. Now, the next couple supernatural experiences I'm going to tell you about have to do with, I guess, less guardian angel and like spiritual protector type energy stuff, but it is more a visit from the other side, from lost loved ones. So I did mention, you know, personally, I tend to not get too personal on the podcast, but I did lose my mom 10 years ago, plus 12 years ago. Wow. And I lost my uncle about 3 years ago. So I would consider myself sensitive to this kind of thing, only because since my mom passed and then once my uncle passed, I've had weird experiences where I almost like feel their presence in the room, or I'm sad about them and I can feel like a switch flip where all of a sudden, like, I just feel at ease with everything and feel comfort and calmness. So there's two instances about my uncle that I want to share that I knew he was with me in some way or another. The first is a few nights after he passed on a summer evening. I was close with my uncle. We did have a bit of a falling out before he passed. So I didn't talk to him for a long time. So it was really weighing on me. And I was sitting in, I think I had like a game room at my old apartment with my girlfriend, and I was playing a baseball game. And I started thinking about my uncle's death. Now, my uncle was into many things. He was former Army, so he was obsessed with that. He was obsessed with gaining knowledge. He was always telling me to learn new things and read books and history, etc., and learn rather than just sitting around all day. And that's something that at the time, he was probably telling me this when I'm 15, 16 years old. Of course, you don't want to hear that. But looking back, I needed that. I needed somebody to tell me to push myself further to achieve my goals. That's another thing that he was so big on. And, you know, of course, I just hope he sees me now doing, you know, great things with my life and being the best person I can be. And you know, I know he's with me. But nonetheless, I'm playing this baseball game, and my uncle enjoyed baseball, history, etc., but baseball was his favorite sport. He would sit with me for hours and break down baseball games and explain to me what pitch the pitcher was about to throw. So he would say, watch, it's going to be an inside fastball. Okay, now it's 2-1, so look for him to challenge him with a fastball, middle to low in. You know, just stuff like that. He understood the entirety of the game and would sit there and explain for hours to me why everything happened the way it did. Again, another thing at the time that I felt like was a drag and I didn't appreciate, but now what I wouldn't do to have that moment with my uncle. So I'm playing this baseball video game, MLB The Show, I think 22 or 23 at the time. And I sat there and mourned my uncle a little and got sad. And I sat there and thought, wow, you know, he would really love this game because he always liked seeing all the new games. And he basically enjoyed seeing how far technology had came. You know, I remember years before him having a PlayStation 1 and that being like the top of the line. So to have like a PS5 now and be playing the baseball game and see the great graphics, like he would go crazy over it. He was older, so like shit like that really like blew his mind as to where me and you like have grown up around it and are kind of used to it. So the moment that I thought about my uncle, and again, I'm beginning to get a little upset in that moment when I'm playing the baseball game, I looked up to the top right of the screen, and there's a currency in the game that you accumulate playing a mode that's called Diamond Dynasty, and you get coins along the way. And I happened to notice that every single number on my coin count, let's say I had 30,000. It was actually 33,333. Now, that might not be the actual number. I know it had something to do with threes. But nonetheless, threes across the screen. And I noticed that because I'm somebody who believes in something called angel numbers. And that could be either signs from angels or some people believe them to be signs from the universe. The theory is that usually when you see these groups of numbers, like all the time, let's say in your daily life, like you go to a grocery store and your total's 4444, and you feel like, oh, well, I might be on the right path in the universe, or, you know, spiritual guides, or maybe even guardian angels. Of course, we can't conclude what these things mean, but nonetheless, I like to think that it means you're on the right path, or possibly in some type of divine presence at times. So nonetheless, I noticed the threes across, and I was thinking about my uncle and the baseball game, and this was only a few days after he passed, so it was fresh, and it's possible, at least in my mind, that his soul had not moved on to the other side yet. Chills as I'm saying this. At that very moment when I looked up at those threes across the screen, I felt a presence in the room, and not a negative type of presence or entity at all. It felt like happiness, joy, laughter, every good emotion and action you could ever imagine encompass all into one. It felt like God's love. It felt like compassion. It felt like everything that is not like sadness and hurt and those terrible feelings that sometimes we have to deal with in life. Of course, there's ups and downs, but it felt like joy encapsulated. It felt like something was giving me a hug and telling me, hey, it's going to be fine, without using words. From that moment on, I think I had gone and woken up my girlfriend at the time and said, you know, I just got visited by my uncle. I knew it. I could feel it in me that he was still around and was trying to offer me some solace. And he was trying to ease my grief and send me a message to let me know, hey, I'm on the other side, but I'm okay. I'm still with you. I'm always going to be with you. The next thing that happened to me that I regard as some type of experience with the other side, specifically with my uncle, is, in my mind, probably the craziest thing you'll ever hear. There's really no real way to explain it other than a sign from the other side. So a few weeks after my uncle passed, of course, I had that experience in my apartment, etc. But I was at my grandmom's house, and my uncle lived with my grandmom. So she was basically the closest person to him, if not one of the closest people to him. And, you know, of course, when we're mourning and going through grief, we go through stages of talking about memories throughout the day. So we were just talking about my uncle, you know, his beliefs, the things he liked and didn't like, funny stories about him, etc. And I remember specifically that day bringing up to my grandma my uncle's love of history, which I mentioned earlier in the episode. Now, however we got into it, we started talking about John F. Kennedy and how my uncle knew a lot about John F. Kennedy, or maybe it was just, you know, we were talking about how he loved history and then it derailed to John F. Kennedy. But nonetheless, I specifically remember mentioning and talking thoroughly in detail about John F. Kennedy with my grandmother, who again was the person who was closest to my uncle, and my uncle was actually living with her at the time that he passed away, unfortunately. Now, nonetheless, we return home and it's a completely normal night. You know, nothing is odd, no weird feelings in the house, anything like that. So I would love to say there were, but, you know, there were no signs of what was about to occur. So we go to lay down, probably 9 or 10 at night, something like that, and I lay in my normal spot in bed, and I felt a circular type of object flat underneath me, felt like a giant cookie or something. I don't know, my first thought in that moment in time was maybe it's like a cookie or like a coin from a child's coin set or something. I didn't know really what it was. It felt very odd. I reached under my back, and what I pulled from my mattress, I literally still have to this day and will never forget. It was a half dollar face up. Of course, on the half dollar is John F. Kennedy. I started freaking out thinking about the discussion I had had with my grandmother about John F. Kennedy and how my uncle loved history. Could this be him sending me some sign? what was the year on the coin, I thought to myself, and I went back to the coin after freaking out about the idea that maybe this was a sign from my uncle. Lo and behold, on that coin was my birth year, which is 1996. Simply, for me, especially knowing I have what I call a connection to the other side, particularly guardian angels in my life, whether that be like some type of spirit guide or my mom and uncle watching over me from the other side, there's too much of a coincidence there that I go to my grandmom's. I talk to her about my passed away uncle, and of course, it's still a fresh passing. So again, possible that his spirit did not move on at that point. And then to go home and find a half dollar underneath me in bed, I mean, with my birth year, many people, you know, on the internet's a crazy place, may disagree with me and say, oh, that's complete coincidence. I say that's one in several million, if not more, the level of coincidence that happened there. And like when we talk about conspiracy theories all the time, we talk about what are the mathematical possibilities that some of these things can line up when we talk about certain conspiracies. So I ask you today, what are the mathematical possibilities that somebody would be talking to their grandmom about their uncle who had died recently and about how he loved history and bringing up John F. Kennedy, just to go home and find a coin that randomly appeared in their apartment that has John F. Kennedy on it with that person, again, my uncle's nephew, obviously me, my birth year on it. So that's one of those things where I can't shake off the idea that that was some type of visit from the other side. And again, I still to this day have that coin because I know it was a message from the other side. And if you don't believe me, Google yourself pennies and coins and their interaction with angels and when people have moved on to the other side, because many people, whether it be on Reddit or, you know, any forum you can share your experiences, many people have shared certain experiences they've had where coins turn up randomly when they're thinking about a dead loved one. So it may just be one of the vessels in which people who cross over to the other side are able to interact with. And certainly me or my girlfriend would have remembered if one of us had a half dollar, because that's not like a currency you see very often. In fact, I don't think I've seen one since. But again, I have it in my room. It's definitely something that I hold near and dear. And it was definitely awesome, although obviously anybody's death is saddening. But to know that I have these signs that these people are with me, I got to be honest, in a lot of ways, it's a big part of what keeps me going in life. And knowing that although they are not physically with me, they are spiritually with me at all times. So the last story I want to share is something that happened more recently to me with another death in my family. So my godmother on my dad's side actually passed away a few months ago, maybe like a month or two ago at this point. Now, we were never really close, but she was my godmother. So of course, you know, she always sent me birthday cards, and not like she liked me more than my other brothers, but of course, like a godmother will always have a special vested interest in their godson or goddaughter. So keep that in mind. So she passed away, unfortunately, at a very, you know, young age, pushing 70, you know, not too old. So, you know, horribly tragic. She did live a great life and was a great person. Nonetheless, I wake up one morning to a text from my brother. This is maybe 2 or 3 days after she passed. So again, in that same type of time window where I had the experience with my uncle, he texted me and said, hey, I had a dream about Aunt Monica, and in the dream she was telling me she didn't get a chance to say goodbye, and it was kind of like a wink and a nod saying like, I didn't get a chance to say goodbye, I'm sorry. So this may have been her way of saying goodbye to my brother. So he had texted me that in the morning, and I felt good knowing, hey, he had that type of experience. You know, sometimes my brothers have had those type of experiences, although it doesn't seem like as much as me. But nonetheless, I also believe some people are more sensitive to it, for one. And two, possibly if you're super open to it, you will experience these things rather than, you know, getting caught up in life and sometimes being closed off to it, which happens when we're doing daily tasks, you know, et cetera, stresses of life, et cetera, et cetera. But anyways, I went to work that day. You know, I was happy that he had that experience. hey, in my mind at the time, at least, I thought, oh, it could just be, you know, something in his subconscious. Like, he feels bad because he wasn't closer to our aunt who passed away. I didn't really think anything of it. Oh, yeah, that's cool. So I go to work, and I happen to take a few orders at work. And this lady walks up to the counter who literally is a spitting image of my aunt to a T. She had the same haircut, almost the same teeth, the same smile, the same laugh. She sounded the same. The only thing different about her was her name, which I don't remember offhand. But nonetheless, I remember thinking, wow, that looks a lot like my aunt. That's really weird. And they do, of course, say we have doppelgangers in this world, and like everybody at some point is probably going to have somebody who looks exactly like them. But I found the timing to be a little weird that the same day that my brother had this dream, I was now seeing somebody who looked exactly like my aunt. But nonetheless, of course, you know, I had chills and I felt weird about it, but I thought to myself, oh, that's just coincidence. And I just tried to move on with my day and brush it off. I didn't really get too deep into it because I was more so trying to focus on work. And then somebody else approached the counter. So I work at a restaurant, but nonetheless, somebody else approached the counter and it was like a DoorDash driver. So what they'll do basically is they'll give you the order number, but most of the time they will ask you for the person's name who they're picking up the order for. Mind you, this was the order after that I took a lady who looked exactly like my deceased aunt who had passed away just a few days before. He said, the order's for Monica S. And getting chills now talking about it, got chills in that moment, and I was convinced something was in the air. This had to be some type of divine intervention or visit from my aunt, because my aunt's name, I won't say her last name, but it was Monica S. So not only did I have this lady in front of me 2 days after she passed who looked the exact same as her, again, almost an exact copy of my aunt, reminded me of her in every way, the laugh, the smile, the way she talked, the haircut, the hair color, the earrings, everything to a T. But I also had the very next order, basically, you know, not my aunt's full name, but my aunt's abbreviated name. So again, that's the final story I'm going to be sharing today. These are all experiences that I personally have had, which I consider to be either spirit guides or run-in with guardian angels, whether that be people from my own family or maybe in the case where I talked about the dream before I broke my femur, maybe that was some type of guardian spirit that, although may not be family with me, is watching over me. Now, I know a lot of people have stories like this. I was going to spend a lot of time reading other people's stories as well, but I sat here and thought about it, and I have enough stories on my own of things that I've experienced that I felt comfortable enough to share with you guys. Now, again, this has been a year since the Between the Lies podcast got rolling. I'm on a 2-week drop schedule. I wish I could do it every week. Sometimes life gets in the way of that. I hope you guys are appreciating the content. Of course, today is a more uplifting type of message. Usually we're doing murder mysteries or conspiracies about elite people drinking baby blood. So it's really nice to have an episode where, you know, we can kind of calm down and talk about some of the good things in life. But I encourage you, if you don't believe in this type of thing, or you really do, or you're on the fence or halfway about this type of thing, whether it be guardian angels, spirit guides, I encourage you, go do your research and look up people's stories online, things that they've experienced, whether it be with a recently deceased loved one or a guardian angel stepping in and saving their life, whether it be from a car crash or something like that. There's a lot of stories online, basically, of people who are in a horrible car crash and feel like a guardian angel was with them in that moment and they knew they were going to be fine. Or there's stories of people finding coins around their house when a family member has recently been deceased and the coin has their birth year on it, and you know, it's something that reminds them of their deceased loved one. So there really is so much, and we really know so little about the human connection with the other side that it's wide open. Anything could be possible. Again, I'm just sharing my beliefs and also some of my experiences, and hopefully this offers solace to anyone, as most people have dealt with the death of a loved one at some point in their life. So hopefully this offers you some betterment of your grief that you're going through, because almost everybody has lost somebody close to them. Hopefully this makes you realize that they are with you every single day, whether we open our eyes to it or not. I encourage you, if you're mourning a loved one, to make yourself more open to weird interactions that might happen in your life that remind you of them. Because the more and more that you open yourself up to it, I believe the more and more you experience it, and your recently deceased or deceased in general loved one is able to open that door and communicate with you as well. As always, I appreciate everybody for listening to the Between the Lies podcast. I'll be back in 2 weeks with either a murder mystery or conspiracy. I haven't really figured it out yet. But I do appreciate all the people who are listening. We are steadily growing when it comes to listeners, and I'm very proud of that. Check out the Between the Lies podcast TikTok. That's Between the Lies podcast. No spaces, no numbers. I'll be posting on that about every other day, give or take. I've been slacking on it lately, and the podcast comes out every 2 weeks. I appreciate everybody's feedback. If you have a theory you want to hear me cover, whether that be murder, mystery, conspiracy, or supernatural, anything in between, please feel free to message me on my TikTok, or if you don't feel comfortable messaging me, comment on one of my videos and say, hey, been listening to the podcast, just wanted to suggest you look into this. I appreciate all the feedback, whether it be negative or positive. It all counts. It all matters. If you are enjoying the show as well, I encourage you to go and leave a 5-star rating and write a tiny sentence or two about what you're enjoying about the show. The more people that support the show with hopefully 5-star ratings, the show can grow to another level. And the whole idea of this podcast, whether it be in a spiritual way, conspiracy way, murder mystery way, is bringing some of these theories to the forefront, sharing some information that maybe people haven't known, maybe opening people's eyes to the spiritual realm, or the fact that the world is a lot more than we think is going on is actually going on, or the fact that maybe old cases need to be reopened. My true passion is opening people's eyes to information they've never experienced before. And if I can make one person look at the world a little bit differently and open their mind a little bit, then my job will be done tenfold. Thanks, as always, for listening to the Between the Lies podcast. As always, I'm your host, over and out.